Hello and welcome to the podcast edition of Scripps 5 Must Know Things, this time for the business week ended 29th March 2024. This is Ian Haydock. This time, Merck & Co. progresses cardiovascular strategy, Novo purchase builds heart failure presence, CRL setbacks for Regeneron, ITF faces challenging Duchenne field, and AbbVie needs to freshen up. Merck & Co.'s Winrevair was approved by the US FDA for the treatment of the rare and progressive disease pulmonary arterial hypertension, or PAH, positioning the company to execute on its ambitious goal of establishing a $10 billion cardiovascular franchise by 2030. Winrevair represents the first drug approved to address the underlying cause of the disease. Jessica Merrill writes the drug works by improving the balance between pro- and anti-proliferative signaling to regulate the vascular cell proliferation underlying PAH. The approval was based on the results of the Phase 3 placebo-controlled STELLAR trial. We expect utilization to be similar to use in the STELLAR study, Merck said, of the early launch trends. Most patients in STELLAR were already receiving background therapy, with 61% of individuals on three therapies and 35% on two background drugs. We expect payer mix to be weighted heavily towards Medicare and Medicaid patients, with commercially insured patients representing around a third or more of patients, Merck added. Labeling allows for patients and caregivers to administer the drug at home, so that Merck expects the product will be predominantly dispensed through specialty pharmacies and covered under patients' pharmacy benefit. Analysts have robust expectations for Winrevair. Ahead of the approval, JP Morgan analyst Chris Schott, in a 4th March research note, forecast that the drug would generate $400 million in 2024, $1.5 billion in 2025, and approach $5 billion in revenue by 2030. Winrevair is a cornerstone of Merck's portfolio expansion strategy to diversify away from Keytruda as that drug edges closer to the end of its expected exclusivity in 2028. Management outlined a plan to investors in 2022 that targets 8 new drug approvals or indications for cardiovascular disease and $10 billion in revenue by 2030. Merck originally acquired Winrevair through the $11.5 billion purchase of Acceleron Pharma in 2021. Novo Nordisk has opened its bulging wallet to acquire Germany's Cardior Pharmaceuticals, boosting its cardiovascular pipeline through a deal worth up to 1.03 billion euros. The Hanover-based biotech has been developing a novel class of antisense oligonucleotides that target so-called non-coding RNA, which act on several disease pathways simultaneously, triggering a concerted therapeutic effect against key hallmarks of heart disease, the company stated. Its lead candidate is CDR132L, which is designed to halt and partially reverse cellular pathology by selectively blocking abnormal levels of the microRNA molecule MIR132. The drug is currently in a Phase 2 trial in 280 people with heart failure with reduced ejection fraction who have previously suffered a heart attack, Kevin Grogan writes. Claudia Ulbrich, who's CEO and co-founder of Cardior, told Scripps that the first readout was expected in the first half of 2025. Ulbrich noted the Novo deal included significant upfront and milestone payments, and it is expected to close in the second quarter of 2024. Novo's head of development, Martin Holst-Langer, said the firm had been impressed by the scientific work carried out by the Cardior team, especially on CDR132L, which has a distinctive mode of action and potential to become a first-in-class therapy designed to halt or partially reverse the course of the disease. He added that the deal would strengthen the cardiovascular pipeline, where we already have ongoing programs across all phases of clinical development. Soaring sales of semaglutide-based products in diabetes and obesity have swelled Novo's war chest, and much of the revenue has been earmarked for deals in the cardiovascular space. A month ago, the Copenhagen-headquartered company signed a multiple-target collaboration and licensing agreement with Neomorph for molecular glue degraders in cardiometabolic and rare diseases worth up to $1.46 billion plus tiered royalties. Novo has also been working with venture capital firm Flagship Pioneering since 2022, with the aim of creating a portfolio of 3 to 5 candidates for cardiovascular and or rare diseases within 3 years. Regeneron Pharmaceuticals has been expecting to have its second cancer drug on the market shortly, a key catalyst of an ambitious oncology strategy the company embarked on several years ago. But US FDA approval of the CD20 x CD3 bispecific antibody, odronextamab, for relapsed refractory follicular lymphoma and relapsed refractory diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, has been delayed due to the clinical trial requirements for accelerated approval, Jessica Merrill writes. The company announced on 25th March that it received 2 complete response letters for the 2 biologics license applications for odronextamab, which both had 31st March FDA action dates. The CRLs were due to the timeline of the ongoing confirmatory trials for the drug, not because of any issues with clinical efficacy, safety, or manufacturing, Regeneron said. The news suggests the FDA is following through on promises made by Oncology Center of Excellence Director Richard Pazdur to take a harder line on the confirmatory trial requirements for new cancer drugs before granting accelerated approval. Last year, Pazdur said confirmatory trials need to be ongoing at the time of accelerated approval and that the agency is working on guidance to better define the meaning of ongoing. Odronextamab has apparently become a victim of that lack of clarity, at least according to Regeneron, which said it's actively enrolling patients in Phase 3 trials. However, the company said it has started the Part 1 dose-finding portion of the Olympia Phase 3 program, but not the Part 2 confirmatory portion. To our knowledge, this is the first time the FDA has issued a CRL for this reason, Regeneron told Scrip. While we acknowledge the general concerns that FDA has about sponsors failing to complete their post-marketing confirmatory trials, the relevant laws and regulatory guidances do not lay out rigid criteria for assessing whether the progress on a confirmatory trial is adequate to allow for accelerated approval. The company did not provide more details on when it might be able to resubmit the applications to the agency. The FDA has been re-evaluating accelerated approval standards in recent years after a slate of confirmatory cancer drug trials failed to meet their primary endpoints, culminating with nearly 25 cancer indication withdrawals from the market since 2020. The sell side sees the Duchenne muscular dystrophy market as pretty much sewn up by Sarepta Therapeutics. That group had the top 3 products on the market last year, and its new gene therapy, Elevidys, has 2028 sales forecasts of more than $3 billion, Evaluate Pharma data show. Last week, though, a new player entered the game, Itel Pharmaco via its purpose-built US subsidiary, ITF Therapeutics. On 22nd March, the US FDA approved ITF's Duvizat, the first oral, non-steroidal drug for Duchenne. The product has a broad label, but will not launch until the autumn, and a great deal will depend on pricing, a matter on which ITF is reticent, Elizabeth Cairns writes. Matt Trudeau, who's head of ITF Therapeutics, told Scrip the group is still in pricing consideration. Duvizat inhibits histone deacetylases, enzymes which play a role in modulating the activity of muscle repair mechanisms. In Duchenne, HDACs are upregulated, and that upregulation has the impact of degrading, delaying, slowing muscle repair, Trudeau noted. By contrast, most of the approved therapies for the disease work by replacing or repairing the genes involved, particularly that for the protein dystrophin. The FDA granted a broad label for Duvizat, enabling it to be used in all Duchenne patients older than 6, regardless of genotype. Most approved Duchenne therapies are tied to specific mutations and can only be used in a small number of patients. Trudeau said ITF was excited about the label. The sell side, however, is not. Cantor Fitzgerald analysts wrote in a 23rd March note that they were not expecting Duvizat to be a threat to existing Duchenne drugs and clinical candidates. Instead, equity analysts are backing Sarepta's gene therapy Elevidys, forecasting that it will become the market-leading Duchenne therapy this year, with sales of over $900 million. ITF's Trudeau noted that the recent advancements in the treatment of Duchenne, many of them require infusions. Many of them require in-clinic administration. The thought of a twice-daily oral therapy that can be administered at home by a parent or by a patient themselves is quite attractive, he said. A couple of analysts have mooted combination use as a way forward, with patients adding the pills to the more invasive therapies they might already be taking. Most patients will also be on a backbone of steroid therapy already. Finally, Elizabeth Cairns and Edwin Elmhurst write that big pharma companies must constantly reinvent themselves if they are to ensure their revenues grow, developing new therapies to replace the older drugs whose patents are approaching expiry. AbbVie in particular needs to accelerate this process. Nearly half of its revenues last year came from products that are more than 15 years old. Several other groups could also do with sprucing up their offerings. Around 40% of the 2023 sales of Sanofi and Merck & Co. were made from similarly geriatric products, and 70% of Bristol-Myers Squibb's 2023 revenues were earned by drugs more than 10 years old, still within the patent expiry danger zone. More than a quarter of AbbVie's revenues last year came from Humira, first launched more than two decades ago, and which remains Biopharma's all-time biggest seller. The drug started seeing biosimilar competition last year, prompting its sales to dwindle from a peak of more than $21 billion in 2022 to $14.4 billion last year. Still, it remained by far AbbVie's biggest hitter, even as the company's overall sales dropped by 5%. But Humira sales are forecast to fall markedly out to 2028, according to Evaluate Pharma's sell-side consensus. Fortunately, AbbVie has a couple of newer therapies that will soon start to make up for the shortfall. Skyrizi and Rinvoq, both launched in 2019, are forecast to have 2028 sales of $17.9 billion and $10.6 billion, respectively. Bristol-Myers Squibb is also in a tricky situation. More than a quarter of its 2023 revenues came from Eliquis, first launched 11 years ago. And it's facing another big loss, the PD-1 inhibitor Opdivo, which turns 10 this year. Sales of Eliquis will peak in 2025 at $13.3 billion, while Opdivo will peak at $12.9 billion 2 years later. BMS has no upcoming products capable of compensating for these losses, and its overall revenues are forecast to drop by 3% between 2023 and 2028. But BMS is taking steps to deal with its problems. This month, the company closed its acquisition of the neurology-focused biotech Karuna, and Karuna's antipsychotic KarXT is forecast to have 2028 sales just shy of $2 billion. Its recent deal-making, which has also included a buyout of Mirati Therapeutics, is a wise strategic approach. Merck & Co. has a lot to lose over the coming half-decade. Last year, only 41% of its sales came from drugs that were more than 10 years old. But by 2028, this proportion will have increased to nearly 80%, and the reason is clear: Keytruda. While the drug's sales are not forecast to peak until 2027, at an astonishing $31.4 billion, Merck will eventually face a repeat of AbbVie's Humira problem. One big caveat here is that these analyses do not take account of any future M&A activity. But surely some larger, more meaningful transactions will take place in the coming years and could alter the relative freshness of Big Pharma's offerings. BMS is already taking this route to rejuvenation, and Merck might well be advised to follow. That's all for this week. Many thanks for listening. All the articles mentioned here are linked below, so sign in if you're a subscriber to access, or sign up for a free trial to see what you're missing. Bye for now.